Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers Podcast. I'm your host today, Beatrice, and I'm joined to my left by
Lauren.
Team at teams_GH.
Minna.
Shy at Shy Carter.
Marva at Marva MSK.
All right, let's go to Stamford Bridge, you know, where all the drama happened today. Lauren, tell me, like, what were the highlights of that game?
To leave there with a point after the performance we put in, very pleased, very, very pleased. Yeah, we didn't play well, but I think we were lucky that Chelsea are not clinical yet without their striker. So we managed to stay in the game, and for me, it's a point gained to equalise in the last minute.
Then. I see Tima adjusting his sleeves.
Tima's loading already. She's loading up.
What's going on over there?
I don't think it's about us not being clinical. It's about the referee being an absolute wanker.
So, what are you saying? You were clinical?
I think we played well enough to win the game. They shouldn't have scored. Neither of those goals should have been a goal. The refereeing performance was absolutely shocking. Like, really shocking. And this isn't the first time Anthony Taylor has done this for Chelsea. It's not the first time he's done it against Tottenham. I never want to see that bold-headed piece of shit referee for my team ever again.
Tell us how you really feel, Timo.
I thought his referee performance was beautiful.
So what are you saying? There's no flaws in that performance? Surely
we dominated them from top to bottom.
And only scored one goal by half time. We were in the game. Because you didn't score enough goals, we were always in the game.
Disrespectfully, I hope your team burns to the ground. I have no respect for Tottenham as a team. Come to Stamford Bridge, like, you're celebrating like as if you won the league. This is why Tottenham don't deserve nice things. Like, what's his name? Your new signing.
Basuma
was going to the fans as if, like, he's just won the Champions League. It's embarrassing.
Can they not celebrate?
No.
If you've won in that last minute, surely.
No.
In 30 years, we've won once on that ground. We take a point in the last minute.
And you still haven't won. So why are you going to the fans with, you know what? Like, as I said, disrespectfully, I hope your team burns to the ground.
Good start.
Yeah. Is that, have you got everything off your chest?
No, or
is
there more?
Okay, go on.
As well, man. Him this week.
Like, I don't think it was Conte that started the kerfuffle at the end.
They want to fight, they want to tussle.
Literally, he couldn't back it, man. I don't
think that was on Conte though.
Yeah.
I think obviously the equaliser when he celebrated, I think that obviously started off things. Apparently he did something to Kovacic in the tunnel as well. So I think there's things probably happening behind the scene that we don't see. And having had Conte as my manager before, I know he's definitely the masters of the dark arts. So I wouldn't be surprised if all of that was true.
But Tuchel could still keep his composure, though.
Exactly. No. Wasn't he running down the halfway line?
Yeah, fuck
Tottenham, celebrating. He could have got a second yellow for that alone. Tottenham. So, yeah, I think it's a derby. I think more so than anything, nobody wants to lose that game.
Yeah, and Anthony Taylor ensured that you didn't, so.
Passions were heightened. Managers, you know, were rightfully passionate, as they should be. I don't think there was anything wrong with that per se, but Tuchel at the end, the way he grabbed Conte's arm, he's a small man. We all saw, like, it looked crazy.
Okay.
all right, they both got red cards in the end. What does that mean for Chelsea?
It means he got a red card, but I don't... But the thing... And he won't be on the touchline for one or two games, yet Anthony Taylor will continue in his refereeing career. I want to see a P45, 9 a.m. sharp. How... He is apparently going to the World Cup representing England as a referee. He is shocking. His team is shocking. Yeah. VAR is shocking. How... I just don't understand... Honestly, I don't understand any of the decisions. I don't understand how Tottenham players have not one of them got a yellow card. I don't understand how they scored both their goals, and I don't understand how they finished with 11 men.
So who should have been red carded?
The guy who nearly pulled the wig off Cinderella man.
Romero.
How is that not a red card? I don't understand.
Does everyone else think that was a red card?
Yeah, violent conduct when you pull someone's hair, as far as I'm concerned.
That's actually assault.
Even I can agree. It was a red card. But at the end of the day, the Anthony Taylor doesn't give anything. VAR looks at it. What can we do?
Cool. When you have a refereeing decision this season, which you will, a shocking one, I'm going to be like, he doesn't give it, like, move on. If that was the other way around, you'd also be here as pissed off as I am.
I think it's shocking that Tottenham walks away from that game with no bookings. I think watching Tuchel's post-match, he had every right to feel aggrieved that Tottenham were getting away with tactical fouls all over the pitch. Reece James committed one, and I was watching because I needed the points for my FPL. He got booked. Bentancur, Romero, they were flying all over the place for 90 minutes. All they got was warning after warning after warning. So I think if I'm a Chelsea fan after today's game, I'm pissed off.
I think when you're refereeing and it's a derby, they do tend to let some things go just because they know it's a passionate game.
But then you can't let it go for one team and not let it go for the other team. Then Reece James shouldn't have got a yellow card.
That's true.
But consistency in the Premier League, well, it's never been consistent. Yeah. So, but I if I was a Chelsea fan, I would also be more disappointed that it's got to half time. You were all over us in that first half, and you've only scored one goal. The same as last week watching Chelsea. If you only score one goal and you're not clinical, or you get another one, you always leave your opposition with a chance of getting back into the game.
The opposition and the referee. It's not just opposite. It's 12 men. We're against.
No, but she's saying that if your strikers did their job or your attackers did their job,
Havertz.
It wouldn't have mattered.
Havertz. What do you think of that Havertz?
Yeah, team? Havertz.
I think if the referee had standards, Chelsea win that 2-0. I think the refereeing performance was more shocking than our strikers or whatever not scoring, because realistically, this is the truth. Chelsea showed Tottenham levels today. Tottenham stunk, absolutely stunk. And if it wasn't for the referee, Tottenham would have been completely embarrassed. Like, you guys...
Would 2-0 would have been embarrassed?
It wouldn't have been embarrassing. You didn't score enough goals to make it embarrassing.
Embarrassing, I don't like the thing where you guys think embarrassing is just scorelines. You got dominated. It reminded me of the time we sat here last season and City had just come to the Bridge and they dominated Chelsea for 90 minutes, but they walked away with 1-0 and everyone's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. No, it was terrible.
No, but yeah, sometimes points for dominance. If you're going to dominate, then the scoreline needs to reflect that, no, the fact that you're dominating the game.
I don't think that's true. Tottenham are lucky.
Because then it looks like, okay, you dominated, you had all that possession, all of that, but you didn't really score with it.
And then it's always going to be a risk that you're going to...
Then you risk that you're going to...
Tottenham would have got embarrassed. Because it's not even just the scoreline, it's the manner of the performance. I'm sorry, I think Tottenham have got a lot of work to do.
I think we have work to do, but none of our new signings started
and
that game.
And what does that say about your new signings?
They're adapting to Conte, who's one of the hardest taskmasters in the Premier League.
That's what about adapting. He obviously doesn't think... Looking at that performance, are you telling me your new signings, not one of them is better than what was on the pitch for however many minutes?
No, you're making assumptions that we don't know why they didn't start. It could be fitness.
He didn't think that they would be good enough to beat Chelsea. And then he put out that team and they got embarrassed by by Chelsea.
I don't think that's it. When we went to Korea on the preseason tour, the players were throwing up on the pitch. You cannot come into a Conte team and a Conte system and not be able to play at that intensity.
Can you explain to us, yeah?
Bissouma was injured in the last preseason game.
He was injured. Okay, but it's been a week. So if he's fit enough to be on the bench, he's fit enough to play. Because if one of your players went down with injury, Bissouma would have had to come on. So in a team where Chelsea absolutely dominated that midfield, why is your best midfielder sitting on the bench?
Tactically, I didn't think we sat well. We had two in midfield. Chelsea with Loftus-Cheek playing the inverted wing back in possession. You had four. Mount dropping back. There was four in midfield. We were outnumbered. Tactically, I don't think we set up well in the first half. Equally, I think we will improve. That was Chelsea's current best team. That was not Spurs' best team.
That's actually not true.
Who would you have played?
Kovacic was missing.
Okay, one player.
It's not one player. Like, he's a world-class player. Like,
so it's the same for Bissouma. It would have been a different game. it would have been a different game if Bissouma had started.
But he could have started. Like, Kovacic was injured.
But we don't know the ins and outs of their fitness. Like, if he was injured before, then it's like...
Bissouma picked up a hamstring injury in the last preseason.
If he'd started in a, like, derby against a midfield three who played very well and pulled something, then we'd be sat here criticising Conte for starting him.
Okay, so no worries, Timo. We'll revisit it next weekend. I hope Bissouma starts.
I hope he starts too.
I hope Bissouma starts. I hope all of their new signings start. Because the English media have gassed Tottenham fans to think that they are the best team in London because they signed six players.
Who said that?
So, no, trust me. Before the game, Graham Souness said if he had a chance...
Are we listening to Graham Souness?
No. Exactly. What, honestly, Graham Souness? He's got nothing to talk about that Pogba's gone.
Yeah, but I'm making a point about media. He said if he was to sign for... If it was a choice between Chelsea currently or Tottenham, he said he would sign for Tottenham. So yes, the media do gas Tottenham. Not one of those signings that Tottenham have made is world class. Not one of those signings really. I don't. Do any of them get into the. Other than Bissouma, do any of them get into any of the other top six teams?
Perisic?
No. Who?
To where?
You are not set. None of you agree that Perisic is not a world class wing back.
Above who? Above which other top six?
Personally, I don't think.
He's 59
years old. He's not like Conte went and took Ashley Young and Alexis Sanchez to go and win the league with Inter Milan. He converted Victor Moses to a wing back. Conte is not here for his world class signings. He's here for his signings that will play his system.
Who is he converting at Tottenham to win you guys the Premier League this season?
Thank you very much.
Who is he converting?
Yeah.
I don't think we're. Who said they're supposed to go win the Premier League this season?
The way that the English...
You're not listening to Timo.
Yeah.
The English media have hyped Tottenham up to be in a title race with Manchester City.
Have they? Wait.
As the Arsenal and Chelsea fans, you're hearing a different version of what the media is saying.
The only thing that I've seen is that Tottenham have the best front three.
That front three today?
The one of them scored the equaliser in the last minute?
From a corner, where was he?
For the in the minute, position that he needed to be.
The best striker in the world, according to Tottenham fans. What trouble did he give Koulibaly or Thiago Silva today?
I've already said, we did not play well today.
Son disappearing act, and don't get me started on that ginger guy.
Wait, so do you disagree that they have the best front three?
They don't even have the best front three in the league.
Who has the best front three then?
Who has the best front three?
Yeah.
I'll go City, Liverpool, then Spurs. At the end of the season.
Do you think Spurs' front three is better than Arsenal's, given the last 2 weeks?
Yes.
Okay. No, but... Okay, Timo, who do you think has the best front three?
Do not care at this point. So hot, man.
Sorry. But yeah, I think Spurs are top two, at least.
I think City...
Oh, now you want to answer the question.
Yeah. City, Liverpool... Then Tottenham, I think.
Why is everyone saying Liverpool?
Because Liverpool got bags men. As much as they might not be aesthetically pleasing footballers, you can bet your house that Nunes, Salah and Jota will bring you goals.
So or Harry Diaz. Kane's Son and...
Yeah, but Kulusevski's not better than any of them. And then Kane, and then Son, Salah, I'm taking Salah.
Because it's not just about front three, it's about what they do. So
collectively.
Kane, as in Kane and Son score just to score for sake. City and Liverpool score to win trophies. And yes, that does count.
Sorry, if the conversation is about who is the best front three, goal involvements in 2022, top five, Kane, Son and Kulusevski are all there.
What do they win with that?
That wasn't the question. The question is...
For me, it counts. Like, if you're going to be the best front three...
Okay, but Liverpool's front three haven't... What do they win?
Yeah, not yet.
Carabao Cup and FA Cup.
Well, not with all three of them.
Not this season. We haven't got there this season yet.
She just said all of 2022, so why can't we bring up last season?
But the front three, Mane, hello, he's in Bayern Munich. It's not the same front three. It's not the same one.
Yeah, Mane is gone. So it's
okay, and I'm saying this. Liverpool will outscore Tottenham again this season.
I don't disagree. I think they will. I don't think Spurs are in a title race. I really don't think they are. And I don't think
they're the best front three in the league.
I would say yes, because I'm biased as a fan. Yes.
Do you know what? If Spurs got, I might as well put Chelsea's in there as well, because apparently we're
This is all about making bad takes,
so I'm putting Chelsea's front three.
Do they have the worst?
Yes, they do.
Is United included in this top 6?
Thank you very much.
I would take United's front three over yours.
You haven't scored a goal this
what
season.
What are the Chelsea's goals?
We scored one goal.
What are the three?
Havertz, Mount, and Sterling.
Sterling starts for Manchester United. So does Mason Mount.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does.
No, I would have taken. Who is he benching?
Sterling is benching Rashford.
Is Mount benching Sancho?
100%.
I personally do not. I don't think so. But that's just my personal preference in terms of how United play. Obviously, when you look at the England squad, when you look at the England squad, Mount gets in over Sancho at the moment. But
he will be getting in over him at Qatar as well.
I'm not debating that. But I'm saying for my personal preference, I would not take Mount in the United team.
As far as I'm concerned, right now, Mason Mount offers more goals than Jadon Sancho.
At the moment, yeah.
Neither of them are offering goals.
Manchester United are begging.
I thought Mount played quite well today.
If Mount comes to your team, he's starting. Like, let's be honest.
Whatever he wants to start as well. If he wants to play eight, he can play eight.
Wait, how many goals did these three have last season?
Mason Mount has like quite. He had 29, I think. Goals.
No, just in the Premier League.
10? Did you get double figures?
You got your fancy iPad.
I don't think any of them have more than 10 individually.
Mount had more than 10.
I think he had more than 10.
Because he had more than ESR. I remember that.
Havertz definitely didn't.
Havertz had
14 goals, yeah. Eight
in the Premier League.
8 goals.
What are you, Sancho other than Gordon, who else are you trying to bring in? Are you trying to bring any of the front three?
Bamiyang.
Oh, yeah. Obama who?
I think he could actually do well for Chelsea.
I think he'd do good at Chelsea. I don't know if he'll come because of, you know, his allegiance to Arsenal, but...
I don't think he has.
No, after watching All or Nothing.
Not after Teta.
No. He got them tattooed on his body.
I think he loves Arsenal, okay, i.e. the fans.
The fans, yeah.
But as far as...
I don't think it would stop him going to Chelsea.
And if Chelsea are in the window for Aubameyang, then as far as I'm concerned, he didn't want to leave Arsenal. Mm. His hands were tied. He made a decision that was best for him. And best for the club, since Arteta wanted to get rid. And if Chelsea are going to pay Barcelona the money, let me say this. If Chelsea get money for Aubameyang, me and Edu Gaspar need to have words. But if he goes to Chelsea, I think he'll do well.
I think he'll do well.
Do you think so? Mm. In the way that you play? Because not many strikers have been to your club and been successful.
It's just an observation. When was the last Chelsea striker that performed well?
Diego Costa?
Your club is a disgrace, but you're...
This is about... The thing
she's the host. She's being neutral today, yeah.
Exactly. Even whatever you say about United, I won't disagree with you. I agree with you. So, back to Chelsea.
Are you acting this way because I'm not saying this season? Is this the way you're acting?
Answer the question, girl. Okay, answer the question. The question was,
given that no strikers have...
has been successful at your club in recent years.
Last season, people accused me of having a sticking up for Lukaku. And I kept saying that's a nuanced argument, that Lukaku isn't a problem, that all of Chelsea's attackers are an issue. I think Lukaku didn't help himself. So I admit Chelsea's attack isn't great. And I think that... But I think Aubameyang would do well, because I think if you look at someone like Sterling, he is streets ahead of any other attacker in Chelsea's squad. So when you're adding quality, And then I think Aubameyang is still a very good player and he has the ability to score. I do think he would do well because he is going to be surrounded by better players. You understand?
Okay, that's valid. That's valid. I won't disagree with you on that one. Anyone else have any opinions on that?
To be honest, watching today, I was like, I know Lukaku didn't do too well, but there were times where I was like, they could really do with a Lukaku-style player right now, just because obviously Tottenham sort of overloaded the box as well. And there were just times where it was like, they were like Loftus-Cheek was trying to dribble through players and there were too many players in the box. And if they just had that target man, because Reece James' delivery, like we saw for that Havertz chance, is very good. Cucurella's as well. So if they had that target man in the middle, now like Tim was saying that they have Sterling, that hopefully if they do connect that bit better, I think having a target man would have actually really benefited them, especially against like low block teams like Spurs.
Yeah, Lloris didn't have that much to do considering how well Chelsea actually played.
Picking out the ball out the back, isn't it?
Twice.
He didn't have that much to do.
This is why we said earlier that domination is not everything.
It's true.
I think Tim is done talking about Chelsea.
She'll never be done talking about Chelsea. Tim can go for years.
I think the last thing I will say is, and this is me just being honest, I do think Chelsea, I think Chelsea showed Tottenham that we ain't the same clubs. And I think that if this is Chelsea without a striker doing this to Tottenham team, I hope Chelsea continue to play
you
this
do
way.
Have a striker.
No, but like a proper striker. I hope Chelsea continue to play this way because I didn't personally think Chelsea were going to finish third. But after seeing that and then seeing Tottenham, even if Tottenham improve whatever, I still think Chelsea get third now because I think there are levels to this game and I can't see Tottenham matching that. I think that Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal will be close. I can't actually believe I'm actually going to say this, but for me, Chelsea and Arsenal finish in top four.
So you're saying Arsenal currently are better than the Tottenham squad?
I think that Arsenal have the juice to go further this year.
But what's that based on?
I think it's based on the fact they've got a proper striker. It's based on the fact that the team...
Do we not have Harry Kane?
I don't care. No, I'm talking about... She's asking me about Arsenal, so I'm going to talk about Arsenal. If you want me to talk about Tottenham, I'm very happy to readdress Tottenham, but...
I think in comparison to Tottenham...
I just think Arsenal have a proper striker. They look hungry. They've added quality to their squad. Like, for example, I can see... The Jesus signing is so significant to Arsenal because I think Jesus could have come to Chelsea and I would have been happy.
He was a fax machine away from going to Real Madrid or a passport issue away from going to Real Madrid, one of the two.
So for me, what Arsenal lacked, that goal threat at the end of last season, they now have that. If he is fit for the whole season, Arsenal are going to be...
I think as well, if you look at it, right, we finished a point or 2 points behind Tottenham without a striker last season. And I don't care what any Tottenham fan wants to say to me. They don't have a better squad than Arsenal. They have two world-class players in Kane and Son. And that is it. If you look at the rest of their team, it is shockingly shit.
But I think it was... I'm not even trying to defend Tottenham, but I think it was quite impressive that they ended up top four considering how they started the
exactly.
season.
Exactly. Conte wasn't even our manager at the beginning of the season.
Considering how they started the season, Arsenal were rock. We sat in 20th with a -9 goal difference. Who started the season worse than
Yeah, but that's three games.
It was
three games.
Conte didn't start the season. He had two signings in January.
I don't care whether he started or not. Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son, along with the signing of Kulusevski, is the reason why Spurs got top four. The
and
rest
Conte,
of their midfield...
Conte.
Cool, the man in the wig. We don't care. Their midfield is shit, and their defence, apart from Romero, everyone else there, ... Eric Dier is not a defender. What's that guy's name? Ryan Sessegnon is shit. Hugo Lloris has passed it. And what's the guy that scored against Chelsea today, the Arsenal fan that came from... Who'd you buy from Wolves again?
Is it Hoiberg?
Oh, that one. That Southampton one. Who played? Who is it? Davies? That one. The one guy. He played
but
today.
It's like, considering all those things, they
exactly.
still came fourth.
Yes, they came fourth.
And have improved.
And we have improved.
Arsenal were missing. If Arsenal had a striker last season, like Jesus, Tottenham don't beat
so
us.
So you both
top four.
Improved.
Exactly.
No,
you both
think,
improved.
I think the improve. As I said, I think the quality of signings that Arsenal made versus the quality of signings Tottenham made I don't think they're on the same level.
Well, Zinchenko and Jesus, those and are the two signings.
Zinchenko starts for Tottenham.
And they are better than the signings that Tottenham made.
But overall, Tottenham's squad have improved. So therefore, we can expect to see...
because I think I agree with Shai. I mean, and you know how I hate Arsenal. I do have an Arsenal agenda. If I can see that Arsenal can finish in the top four...
I just think we have to wait and see because the impact of European football will have a big impact on the running at the end of the season.
To be fair, you're not going to be in European football for very long.
If we come out of the competition, then we'll be playing once a week.
And you're still not going to be in
the top four, in my opinion. Team is on one today. Against Spurs.
In my opinion,
it's personal.
I think they got overhyped at the beginning of the season. I think Conte... you're going to see what it's like to have Antonio Conte as your manager. And I don't think it's going to end very well.
He's still the best manager that they've had.
Exactly.
They said the same thing about Jose.
Listen,
anyone that said that was bluff because we saw him at United.
He's the best manager we've had, but he wasn't bad. Conte is far better.
And we've actually, for the first time, backed a manager. We've made the changes that we want. We've gone and got out his signings.
You're going to have to back him again in January. You're going to have to back him again in summer.
Yeah, have you not seen the £1 billion stadium? We're going to back him. We are generating money now into the club.
Just remember, Daniel Levy is that guy there. He's not going to continue backing. Anyway, let's move on because I don't want to talk about Tottenham.
After 20 right, minutes of talking about Tottenham.
We're moving on to the misery that is United's. Minna, just talk us through that game and everything disgraceful that happened.
What can I say? I actually don't have much to say on the game, so I'm happy to hear what everyone else has to say. We lined up not great. You know, Brentford, I came into this not that optimistic. If, like, on the midweek episode that I did, I said I wasn't that optimistic. We might have lost 1-0. I did not expect to be 4-0 down 35 minutes into the game. If you start from, like, the main problems watching the game, specifically the first half, because that's where most of the issues came from. Mm-hmm. I think the first goal was ridiculous. A lot of people, including myself, I've slated De Gea for the mistake that he made. But even if you watch the build-up to the shot... the fact that we got dispossessed in our own third, and then it was a throw on to Ronaldo. Ronaldo got doubled up. Brentford's tactics. I think a lot of people are focusing on us losing, but Brentford came into that game tactical, and I have to commend like the coach, the team, because they know that United fumble at any site of pressing. When we have the ball, if we're pressed, we crumble like a bunch of cookies. And they did that to Ronaldo. He got dispossessed and it led to a goal. The second chance, I think his name was Jensen for Brentford. Yeah. He was literally stuck to Eriksen like glue. But not just him. Every Brentford player was man-marking their player during the press. They were literally pressing. But three out of the four goals we conceded, if we had a competent goalkeeper that could make the best decisions, I think maybe like the first goal is a mistake in it. That happens. It's kind of like he went for the wrong way to save the ball.
It happens too often.
No, but the thing is he tried to scoop it when he's saving it when he shouldn't have. And that's something I'm not going to criticize too much. But that second goal that we conceded, where he looked up and passed it to Eriksen when he could see Eriksen was being pressed. I don't know if it's because our kit blended in with the grass. I don't know what it was, but that is the worst decision to make. Mm. And if you watched Erik ten Hag's interview after the game, he said that he knew that Brentford were going to come into this pressing us. So he advised them to utilize the space upfield and just kick it upfield. So he said, at that point, if my players can't do that, then that's where the problem lies. And I think that's where the problem lies. I think last season we had the worst performing squad ever. And we went into the Brentford game. 9 of those players from that squad were in the starting 11. That's where a problem comes from. Mm-hmm. If David De Gea is conceding, 92 goals in like 63 games, mm-hmm. that's ridiculous. I don't even see that in Power League.
That's the relegation
goal. I don't even see that in Power League. Yeah, that's crazy. And then like obviously I feel bad for Martinez. He gets scrutinized a lot for his height. He's 5'9". He's a little baddie, but I feel bad for him because he's come in. He's one of the new players that Erik ten Hag has purposely picked out from Europe to purchase. And he's going to get criticised. But when you're next to Maguire, who for the third goal, I think it's the third or the fourth goal, the counter-attack goal, where it was again Jensen picked the ball off Sancho in his own box, looked up, Ivan Toney made a run. That's the fourth goal. Ivan Toney made a run. And Eriksen is telling Maguire, like, how is Eriksen telling the defender, the captain, where to go? That's ridiculous. Yeah. The players are not competent enough to make decisions that they should be making as professional footballers. And there's so many players in that team that should get rid of. Like, if they were in that squad last season, I'm sorry to be harsh, but some of them, they should not be there. Maguire should not be captain in this squad. And it's sad because you even look at the team, and when you're 1-0 down or you're 2-0 down in 20, 25 minutes, you need a player that's going to uplift the squad. But I don't look at anyone in that team and think there's a leader in those 11 men. Mm-hmm. And Ten Hag was just, my guy was literally sweating from up here. He was literally sweating from up here when we went 3-0 down. And I feel bad, obviously, but we can talk about the game as much as we want. Credit to Brentford because they played phenomenal. They came out tactical. Martinez is going to get a lot of scrutiny because of his height, but most of the goals, he did the best he could. I think the only criticism I had for him was the Ben Mee goal. But even in that instance, the ball came into the back post. Ivan Toney out-jumped Diogo Dalot. Listen, Dalot got embarrassed in the Champions League last season. Why is he still in the starting lineup? Why is he still playing? Wan-Bissaka, I get it. He's not any better. Yeah, but Diogo Dalot is only there because of his Portuguese nationality. Cristiano Ronaldo, since he's come, suddenly Dalot's playing a lot. No one's asking questions. It's the Portuguese mafia. Him, Bruno, and Ronaldo. It's the Portuguese mafia. No one's asking any questions. So questions have to be asked why so many of these players, and I don't know what's happened. Sorry, I know this is a rant at this point, but
no, we love it.
Since we lost in the Europa League final, yeah, it's like we've been unable to lift our head up and just bounce back. Like, I don't know mentality what's happening with this squad. They complained about Ragnik. They complained about Oli. I wouldn't be surprised soon if they start complaining about Ten Hag. Questions need to be asked about the squad that we have, the players that we have, not only that, but the recruitment. Ooh, questions have to be asked about the owners. The owners are sitting in America 9 hours behind us. They're sleeping when we're playing at 5:30. When we're playing 5:30 kickoffs in the UK, they're sleeping. They're not even awake. The owners do not care about this squad. If for them, it's a revenue generating thing. It's a business. It's a business model. Let's be honest. United is a business model. The Glazers, they bought the club with debt, continue to increase the debt in the club. They brought the club, and tell me why 17 years later there's still about £570 million debt allocated to Manchester United, on top of not even including the interest. They don't invest any of their own money into the club to purchase players. So when we're buying players in the transfer window, it's all through revenue that we generate in the season. I guess that's why Ronaldo came in. He brought in merchandise sales. I can't imagine how many shirts they sold that said Ronaldo on the back. That was a business move. They put in accountants, ex-bankers, whatever, as the directors of the club. Their sole purpose is to generate revenue for the club.
Even like bringing back in ex-players, even that doesn't even make sense.
You know what? That's what I'm saying. And it all started, like, the issues that we saw on the pitch yesterday, a lot of it is the players, but it's also from the top. Everything trickles down from the ownership. Like, you look at, you know, City, you look at Chelsea's new ownership, you look at Tottenham, you look at Arsenal, they are using their own money to fund transfers. But we are, I'm not too sure about Arsenal. Maybe I'm speaking
Arsenal
a bit.
Arsenal use their revenue.
They're using revenue, fair enough. But even City, all right, all your money. Chelsea's new owners investing in the club. What they need is, like, we need investment. From there, it trickles down. Recruitment. I'm questioning the recruitment. Like, Jose Mourinho finished second, and then he got Fred as a reward from Shakhtar Donetsk.
How you haven't bought a new centre mid?
Listen, how you start? It's even worse than that. We don't actually have a defensive midfielder.
We don't have a DM. And for example, yesterday's game, Eriksen, the poor guy, he's got a, what's it called, in his heart?
And he's playing
a pacemaker, and he's playing as our deepest lying midfielder. Do you know?
In 35 degree heat.
I'm surprised that he never melted into the pitch. Honestly, I'm not even being funny, yeah? But it's horrible. Carrick retired how long ago? We still ain't replaced him. He became an assistant manager. He retired, became an assistant manager, became our caretaker manager, left us, and we're still in the same issue. We still haven't replaced. And you look at all the other mid-table, I can't even say that we're top six, because right now we're basically a lower table. We're in the lower half of the table. You look at, you know, our rivals like Fulham. You look at our rivals like Aston Villa, and they signed DMs that we could have signed. You know, Boubacar Kamara that went to Aston Villa on a free from Marseille. Paulinho went to Fulham for 20 million. There's so many players out there that we could have bought, defensive midfielders, holding midfielders that we could have bought. And then we go and target Rabiot, the same guy who his mom is causing havoc in the French national team. It don't make sense. All in all, yeah, it's not looking good.
Can I just say, I'm so happy. Like, this brings me joy. United fans in pain every day brings me nothing.
But no, but the thing is, we're not in pain.
No, you guys are in pain.
We're not.
You're in pain.
I'm in pain. I'm in pain.
Oh, sorry. I'm in pain. Me, everybody's separate. Yeah, my mental is just, I just don't have
the energy. Have to close off the trauma.
Yesterday, when the match was going on, I was at a day party. This is, I don't care. Like, this club.
You do a show every time there's a goal going
on. I wasn't even looking. I just looked at my phone. I saw 4-0. I thought, you know,
but
what?
Even speaking on the game yesterday, right, I think Ten Hag needs to go back to basics before he tries to implement his philosophy.
Mm.
He needs to go back to three at the back. Since the three at the back tacks weigh so heavy and that's how you end up looking like a good defence. Three at the back, Arteta done it when he came in.
Was that straight?
No, it wasn't a straight. I was just saying what people were saying. Is that not what they were saying, Timo?
So you just relax a little.
Arteta done it when he came in. Tuchel done it when he came in. You just make Manchester United hard to beat. If the football is boring, if you're winning games 1-0, this, that, and the third, you need to boost the confidence. Once you've boosted the confidence and you've got somewhere, then you start to implement maybe your philosophy. And whoever doesn't fit that philosophy, that's when you see who you ship and who you keep. Coming in, trying to get David De Gea to play out the back in 2022, I don't understand. It reminds me of when Timo's club sent their agent in Petr Cech to Arsenal. And he was playing out the back under Unai Emery. Everything was scary. Teams would press us. They would go high because they knew Cech did not have the capability
to relieve. He wasn't our only agent, by the way.
I know. We've had a few.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it in him to relieve that pressure like Ramsdale does or like Edison does or like we've seen Alisson do. Or even in certain instances for Chelsea, we've seen Mendy do it. David De Gea is not that guy. And what brings me even more joy, Dean Henderson had a fantastic game today and United suffered. Amazing.
Is there anything else you'd like to say at this point?
Long may it continue. Amen.
So do we think that Ten Hag has underestimated this United job?
Yes. I think he's underestimated the league. I think he's tried to implement his Ajax system straight into the Premier League. This is a physical league. This is a high-intensity league. I love Eriksen. He's so many goals and assists for my club. I've never seen him play the number six role in a Spurs shirt. Never saw him play that role in a Denmark shirt. Never saw him play that role in a Brentford shirt. I don't understand why he's your deepest line midfielder.
It's because we don't have one.
I think, I think Ten Hag is just trying to make do with what he's got. But it's not it's going to get worse before it gets better. Like, I know that for a fact. But when Ten Hag came into the team and, you know, yesterday's lineup, we had the starting 11 came from five different managers at Man United.
Mm.
The board, when they recruited Ten Hag, they promised him the funds would be available for the transfers. Who have we had Eriksen on a free. We had Malacia coming in for like 20 million. And then we had Martinez coming in for 50 million. Where are these funds that he was promised?
De Jong.
Where are De Jong? That is a whole different saga. Like, I don't even want to get into that because literally, like, I'll go on for another hour. Yeah, I'll go on for another hour about that. But where's the funds that he's been promised? They've turned around now and said, oh, there has to be outgoings before there can be incomings. A lot of the outgoings we've had have been frees.
But then United, if the rumours are true with the PSG stuff, who are Manchester United to turn down 70 million for Rashford? He's not worth 120.
I can't lie. The only reason why I would assume they would turn down Rashford letting him go is simply because we would not have the time to find a replacement. And I know at the moment Rashford is not adding much value to the team, but we will be one person down in a 23-man squad.
We're already short.
What that reminds me of is when you go through these rebuilds, right? And I'm going to use my own club as an example. When teams like Newcastle came to Arsenal and said 20 million for Holding, and then when PSG came and said 25 million for Bellerin, and these are players who are don't look like they're going to return to their best. Bellerin after that ACL was poor. 20 million for Holding is an absolute steal. I feel like at this stage, United take it and run.
You
can get a good replacement for Marcus Rashford at this stage in the window. It doesn't, and I think United fans, it's unconscious, but you have this thing of names. It doesn't need to be a world beater. It can be someone that fits the profile that maybe you don't know. Like, but, you're going to have to go.
Will United be smart enough to find that player?
United won't do that.
They're going to replace him. He made loads of recommendations, but we don't listen.
They won't listen
to people that give us good recommendations.
For the whole Rashford thing, I personally think that it's his agency coming out with this news to get him a new deal. Because his contract's going to expire next summer and United got the option to extend it for an extra year to 2024. And because at this point, you know, when it's a year or two before your contract expires, if you haven't sat down with... Bruno was getting a contract extension when he was here for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't think PSG have come out outright and they want to buy Rashford. Because personally, looking at him the past 12 months, you wouldn't... Why would you want to buy Rashford? Obviously, a lot of United fans are... I think they have this attachment to him because he's a Carrington kid. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an academy kid. I personally hope that he like makes that comeback from the shoulder injury. But if another club come knocking, United need to wake up and smell the coffee, to be honest. And on the point of Ragnick gave them advice. He said that they need at least 10 signings in order to compete with top six, not even to compete with the top two. To compete with top six, we've had about 9 people going out, maybe more than that on loans and transfers and on frees. We've had 3 people coming in. There's about 2 weeks left of the window to end. And anyone that United go to now in the transfer window, they're going to slap 20 million on the price. If they go now to sign, I don't know, Danjuma from Villarreal with a 40 million release clause, they're going to be like, yeah, nah, 60. You know, Anthony from Ajax had a good game today for Ajax. They quoted us 90 million. They're going to slap another 30 on top of that because United are desperate. We are desperate in this transfer window. And they spent so much time on the whole De Jong thing just for now Chelsea to come and try hijack it. It's literally top down. It's top down.
Oh, my goodness.
It's because I think it goes back to United, and I felt this as a Spurs fan as well. When you make revenue-based decisions, you're not going to go and make the smart, non-big name because they're not going to sell the shirts. You're not going to sell Rashford because he's an academy player, and that's the ethos of being Manchester United. So I can see why the decisions are made, because if you're protecting your brand, you're not going to buy these, you know, these small players, maybe a Danjuma, but because that's not big enough for Manchester
United.
But
not even just Danjuma. There were so many players that have been available over the past like 4 or 5 weeks in the transfer market and they ended up going elsewhere. And United are targeting, you know, Icardi, people that are household names, people that, you know, they're not superstars, but they're players that, you know, when they could go and target players in, you know, Matheus Nunes in Sporting Lisbon, not a lot of people know him. Not a lot of people, like, he's not a household name, but he's a player that would come in and immediately make our club better. Now Sporting are asking for 50 million for him. If United go, they'll probably ask for 70 million. So,
can I recommend something? You should get your owner to go host a dinner.
You think he's team of peas?
Come outside and say wonderful food, like great meal, wonderful food, and then
does that get a signing?
Yeah, 100%.
The Glazers, I think they've been to how many United games in the past 6 years? They've been to like 3 United games in the past 6 years. That's our like owners. And so many people tell United, stop complaining. Like, we spent nearly £1 billion on transfers since Fergie retired. I cannot name you one signing that was successful from that 1 billion. We've had more than 380 million signings. I cannot tell you one that has succeeded in the club. They're using money. They're obviously investing money through revenue generated sales, etc. But the recruitment is an issue there too. So a lot of people say, oh, you know, the Glazers, you know, your owners, they're investing money. But really and truly, the club is toxic from top to bottom. And yesterday's performance just showed it. Weak mentality. Every player on the pitch was like embarrassing. I felt bad because I feel like Malacia came on in the second half and he did a better job than Shaw. Scott McTominay, my guy was passing to the stewards. He thought the stewards were our fullbacks because they were out of the pitch. He literally, like, there's so many
might
players.
Be that,
like,
kit, to be fair.
The kit, exactly. He was confused by the kit. So the United problems, like, when you looked at Liverpool when they were down bad, yeah? Liverpool were down bad and they had, like, not great players. Mm. But you look at our team and it's not that we have bad players.
They just
can't
play together.
There's so many issues. Like, there's just so many issues in the club. And it's going to take, like I said, it's going to get worse before.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Gets better.
Yeah, all right. Let's move on to Arsenal. Tell us how that went.
She's the only one happy today.
Have every reason to be happy for now, but we played well. A few mistakes, nothing too worrying, nothing frightening. Gabriel Jesus, what a signing! Like, honestly, if Man City, if you have any more scraps that you don't want, we'll take them, because Jesus has, I don't know if it's because Lacazette was that bad or is he actually that good that he let me start here. That defender that Chelsea are about to spend £80 million on, he got dog walks yesterday by Martinelli. Absolutely dog walked. I think he was lucky to stay on the pitch. He could have easily had two yellows for all the fouls that he committed. Nelly was fantastic. Our defence was okay. Ramsdale, yeah. Good game. Every time we gave Leicester a bit of hope, we snatched it right back from them. We could have been 5-0 up in the first half if Jesus had taken all his chances, to be fair.
Title charge.
Would you say that Jesus is the perfect Aubameyang replacement?
I don't think Jesus is our Aubameyang replacement. I think Jesus is our Alexis Sanchez replacement. I don't think he... Nothing about Jesus stylistically reminds me of Aubameyang. I think technically he's a bit more secure. He works across the line. No, I wouldn't say Aubameyang. I would definitely say Alexis. I don't think we've replaced Aubameyang.
Title charge.
Are Chelsea in a title charge?
We're 2 points behind you now, so no.
2 points behind
the second game.
Two games. Two more, man.
Does Arsenal still need any more signings before the end of the window?
Yeah, bring me Yuri Tielemans. I will take an upgrade on Xhaka. If you guys want Xhaka, you can come and buy him, you know, 20 million.
No, thank you. We have enough problems.
I feel like Xhaka is better than anything that United have. I think we need another midfielder. I think if you look at Arsenal, especially when we're in the transition, Xhaka's just a bit too slow. It's like the technical level of our team as a whole has improved. And he is sticking out like a sore thumb. In saying that, though, he did have a really good game against Leicester.
Did he not score?
Yeah, he did.
The thing is, he does have these good games, and then
I swear it's when he's playing against someone who's been rumored to be replaced by. Yeah, I've noticed it a few times.
Yeah, he did have a very good game, and Tielemans was very poor. But I think he's just trying to lower the fee to 25. So yeah, bring me Yuri, and if we have money for another winger, I will take it, but I'm not fussed. But I think another midfielder is essential.
Are you Arteta in or out?
I'm still Arteta out.
Still?
Do you have high expectations for Arsenal this season?
My expectation is a Europa League and top four, both, not all, both. And if we don't get it, we failed.
What about one or the other?
It's underwhelming. So I would be content, not happy.
Mm. But why the Europa League, though? Wouldn't you be content with any trophy?
I'm tired of winning FA Cup. Okay, I sound ungrateful, yeah. But I've seen, what, 3 or 4 FA Cup finals since 2013. Arsenal don't have a European trophy to my memory. United and Chelsea...
Or anyone's memory.
We have intertitled. United and Chelsea have gone in this competition. They've won it. United made it to another final. They lost on penalties. Cool. Chelsea's gone there twice. They've managed to win twice. There's no reason to why Arsenal shouldn't win the Europa League or shouldn't aim to win the Europa League. We're one of the strongest teams in there, given what I've seen. So? Pardon?
Do you think so?
Yeah, we're definitely one of the strongest teams in there. Obviously, Jose and Roma, headache. But and then I don't know who's going to drop out of the Champions League. But as far as I'm concerned, right now, we're one of the favourites for the Europa League. We got to a semi-final the last time. We need to go all the way this time, especially with the changes that we've made. Like, Arteta has had a lot of money to spend, more than Emery. Probably, I want to say more than Wenger, of course, over the long term. But in the short period where we went and we were buying £42 million, £50 million. That was transfer records for us. Arteta's had the money. So now I need the results or else it's just a waste.
But do you think you'll be able to maintain the consistency in the Premier League whilst playing Europa League at the same time?
Yes.
How so?
The reason why I'm saying yes is because he's had all his signings. So even his fringe players are still his players. It's not like Mena where it's 4 or 5 different managers. Well, for Arsenal, not the case. 3 managers. The only Wenger player left in this team is Xhaka and Elneny, who he's clearly happy with, else he would have got rid of. Okay, and then he got the Emery signing in Pepe, who will only probably play Europa League and...
is he still your player?
Cup. Yeah, Pepe's still our player. But everyone else that he's brought in, fringe or starters, they're his players that should understand his philosophy. So in both competitions, I need to see Arsenal competing on both fronts. Our squad is good enough to do so, in my opinion.
Timo?
Hello?
Looks like you had something to say there.
I was just like a bit relieved that we were finished talking about Arsenal.
But you were literally backing them like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, because I think they're a good squad. I think the only thing I would say about them is if Jesus gets, or I like to call him Jesus, if Jesus gets injured...
If Saka gets injured...
I think Jesus is a bit more...
Well, yeah, no, but I think a couple injuries away... I know you said... I also agree the squad has improved, but the starting 11 is a couple of injuries away from falling out of the top four race.
That's with everyone starting 11. Like, you've named 2 of our most important players. I'm sure if I sat here and said, if Kane and Son go down, Tottenham are fucked.
Which is a possibility. No, Kane does go through periods where... In a season, he'll be out for like 2 months, at least 2 months.
Yeah, which is why we usually spent the money on Richarlison.
Because Richarlison can play up front.
That's why we spent the money on Richarlison.
So they do have a backup. Like, it's not the same.
Who's going to get the same quality?
I think with everyone's squad, if 3 to 4 of your most important players go down, even Man City, like Liverpool, we've seen it. They can't cope. I think Arsenal can cope with a short-term Saka injury. The Jesus one, I'm not so sure because me personally, I'm still not sold on Eddie Nketiah. But he has the number 14. He has a new contract. I have no choice but to back him. He's not going anywhere. We're a man light in midfield. Everyone knows why. That, you know, so we need to bring in Tielemans. And if said player does get injured, then I think we go back to a 2 in midfield. And it's, we've got Odegaard, we've got Elneny, we've got Tielemans, if we do sign him, we've still got Xhaka and we still have Fabio Vieira to come in the side, and we have Sambi Lokonga. There's enough there to cope with injuries, but if we're having 4 or 5 injuries to our best players, of course we won't be fine. No one will.
Which competition would you like Arteta to prioritise in the running? The Premier League or Europa?
Both.
I knew you were going to say that.
I'm not budging on both. If we win the Europa League and we finish 5th, I will be fuming.
Well, you get to you still get.
Yeah, but it's not a reward, because if the Europa League didn't bring
the trophy,
us Champions
is the
League,
reward.
No. I feel like football fans these days, we look at the Europa League as, don't get me wrong, it's an accomplishment, but we look at it as a backdoor to the Champions League. If it was just Europa League for winning Europa League 6 and Arsenal missed out on the Champions League, given the money he's had, it's a failure.
Some of us win the Europa League for fun, not for Champions League places.
But that's kind of our argument, though. No.
But I think that you shouldn't be angry at that, because I think it's a European trophy that Arsenal have an experience.
Congratulations! I want Champions League football.
You're gonna get Champions League.
Yeah, but then if you won the Europa League and finish fifth,
for me, winning cups.
We say to Tottenham, top four is not a trophy. We say this all the time. So
that's why I want both.
That's why she wants a trophy and top four.
Measuring your progress, you can only measure your progress by your league positions.
Mm.
For me, cup competitions are completely different. You can be an excellent cup team and be absolutely shocking in the Premier League. Mm. So Arsenal missed out on top four by a point last season. This season, I need to see us in the top four, and whoever finishes fifth, I want us to be at least 6 points clear of them.
At least six points. Yeah. That's not happening.
That's not happening, because it's going to be one of Chelsea's.
Who are your top four predictions? Because you're saying it's Spurs.
I think it's City to win, Liverpool second, Chelsea third, and then it's a shootout between the two North London clubs again, in my opinion.
And you think you're going to finish 6 points above them?
I want us to. I didn't say I think. I said I want us to. That will show me progress.
Mm-hmm.
Because last season, we were good enough to finish in the top four based on how we were playing. We just had a DM at striker and we had injuries, so there was nothing we could do. That's what they told me anyways.
All right, let's move on to Marva and Everton. That defeat, how did it go?
Listen, I had a nice summer where... A nice break from Everton, a nice break from men's football. I got to see a team I was supporting win a trophy. I've never experienced that before. That was nice. Shout out to England women, because they did what Everton men have not been able to do in my 27 years of living. So that was fun. And now we're back to it. I'm not panicking just yet, to be honest. Like, we know that our starting 11 yesterday was not what the starting 11 is going to be in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So obviously Calvert-Lewin out. We need to bring in a striker. We have to bring in either a striker and ideally another forward as well. But I thought when Onana came on, he looked quite promising. If we get the Gray signing over the line as well, that's going to strengthen our midfield. I think Iwobi had a really good game again in centre midfield. So that's a good addition too, to know that like, we've got actually options in midfield if we get all those signings over the line. But we just didn't wake up. Like, we played our best football in the last 6 minutes of injury time. It's like, you're not going to win a game when you do that. But like I said, like, that's not our starting 11 for the rest of the season. So I feel like we're not panicking just yet. But equally, if we don't get something against Forest and then Brentford...
Those are two hard games.
Yeah, I think those are quite difficult.
They're hard, but who else are you going to beat? You can't start saying, oh yeah, Forest is a hard game, because, all right, who else are you going to beat in this league then? You can't just rely on beating like United and Fulham. You have to beat other teams as well. So
catching straight, man.
No, I'm just saying, obviously, like, Everton beat United last year, isn't it? Like, we do all right against...
You said they smoked us 4-0 one season as well.
Yeah.
I think you sack Lampard now, to be honest.
Lampard is going to be the first manager to get sacked in the Premier League.
Mate, like, I'm not going to argue against it, but equally, I have... The reason I'm not panicking just yet is we genuinely have looked a more solid team in these two games than we did last year. Mm. Like, we are clearly playing with, a plan now. Like, the five at the back... I've watched Everton for so many years, and every time we tried to play five at the back, it was just like disgusting to watch. Whereas like now it's five at the back with a clear plan. The only difference is with a five at the back, you then need a centre forward that you can cross into, and we don't have that right now. Mm. But in terms of our stability, in terms of what the direction is for the two sitting midfielders in front of the back three, there's an actual plan. And then when we went into a three in midfield and made it four at the back, still clear plan. And I'm like, the improvement in that, even just from Lampard and what he's doing with the club, because I wasn't a big like get Lampard in at all. Like, he obviously didn't do that well at Chelsea. He did all right, but I'm like, it wasn't like, oh, this is, we had Ancelotti, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then also in a relegation battle, it was also like, is he going to be able to pull us out of it? And then also when we had that like 5-0 loss to Spurs and just some like bad losses under Lampard when he first started, I was like, this is going to go badly. But to his credit, he has actually shown improvement as a manager as well. He's recognised where our faults are. And even in the signings, like, we've been similar to United, and our signings and our direction of the club have been so bad for so many years. This window, it started like that as well. Like, when I was just seeing we were linked with every Burnley player under the sun, I thought this is going to go badly. But then they've actually pinpointed, like, the exact positions and the exact things that we've been missing. Like, to get in Tarkowski and Cody, I know they're not like huge big name signings that you're like, this is exciting, but solid, stable players, know the league. Leadership. It's what we need, leadership. It's what we need in our back line, especially with Mino, who has ankles made of paper, and Godfrey, obviously, with a bad injury. So that, and then as much as McNeil hasn't got off to a great start, but identifying a right winger, because for years we haven't had someone who's actually comfortable coming off of the right, and then identifying he's left footed but he's like happy to play on the right, whereas like before when we had like Iwobi playing up front, Gordon, Richarlison, they all prefer to come off the left. And then yeah, and then identifying our centre mid as well. Our centre mids have, not since Barry left, have we had good, solid centre mids. And so the fact that they were like, we're not just signing one centre mid, we're signing another, we're training up. We've still got Alan, we've still got Decore, although he's gone off injured, and now Iwobi as well. So it's like they are actually identifying the problems that we have, which is quite refreshing to see. Mm. If we get a centre forward and a winger, I think we'll be okay.
Don't Everton have some financial things to clear up for
that? Yeah, but then we saw Richarlison, and then yeah, that helped. That, and then also just to stay in the league was massive, because that was the biggest thing, is if we were to get relegated, it was gonna be bad. But yeah, so we'll see. Also, just players like Delph and stuff who went, and Tosin, who'd been stinking up the place, and
Delph.
He's like, all of them went, like, their contracts ended, in it though. So just stuff like that, like wages have been gone now. So
Are you confident that you won't be in the relegation?
I don't want to think about it. I'm not there yet. I can't go for it again, honestly. If we start going for it again, women's football, yeah, I'm just waiting for that to start up again, because I can't do it again. But just on the balance of how we've actually started the season, I know it's two defeats and the only goal we've scored is a own goal from the player that should still be with us in Luka Dino, if it wasn't for Rafa Benitez. But yeah, other than that, I'm like, we still look more solid. We've seen some improvements. Anana looks exciting. The other signings, if we get them over the line, then I think we should be all right. But I don't want to go through it again. Stress.
All right. I think we'll just go into the listeners' questions. I've got three here. I think I picked the best three. The first one is, does Man United have the worst squad and manager out of the top six?
Yes.
You didn't even hesitate with that one. Jesus. Squad and manager.
Squad, yeah.
Who's the worst manager in top six?
It's just hard to judge Ten Hag.
Yeah. You can't judge Ten Hag, but squad, yes.
I can't.
Tima, who's the worst manager in the top six?
She's going to say Arteta.
Arteta, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Manager, no problem. Make sure that the worst manager in the top six doesn't beat Tuchel again.
Oh.
Okay. Congratulations.
So we're saying that it's between Arteta and Ten Hag.
I don't know Ten Hag. I can't judge him. Yeah. I think that's quite a hard question.
Okay, but squads. Let's do squads.
Squads, oh yeah. Man United are terrible.
On paper, United don't have the worst team. No. But
on centre mid.
On practicality.
On paper, who has the worst team then?
I don't think United have the worst team.
So who is it?
Because on paper, if ability or injuries or just out of form doesn't come into it.
We're talking about squad.
Yeah, but on paper, who has the worst squad in the top six? On paper.
This is hard. Because I would try and compare to Chelsea. Okay, no.
I'm going to say Tottenham.
I think maybe Tottenham's front three saves them.
Yeah.
No, the squad.
I would say Spurs, but when I look at, Kane and so on, when I look at the other positions, I'm like,
they're quite balanced as well.
Davies. Sessegnon.
No. Only their front three is
on paper is Tottenham.
It's a hard one.
I think it's United.
on paper.
On paper.
When you don't take into account things like, you know,
form. Okay, yeah, but even that, the rest, but the rest, other than Ronaldo, and I get what you're saying, like Sancho, Rashford, but like centre mids.
Eriksen.
Like Bruno Fernandes, these people who should be performing, you know, in that Varane. United
squad. Champions League. Their back line, though.
And their Champions League. Champions,
yeah, Champions goalkeeper Varane. Back line and centre mid.
I think
De Gea should be better than he is.
Man United, the drop off is so harsh that it's got to be Man United.
On paper.
Not on paper, on paper.
But then if you're looking at, like, from beginning of this season, United, we don't have the best squad out of the top six.
We're going
to
say,
but I can't comment on Ten Hag because we haven't given him enough time.
That's harsh.
Mm. Yeah. Right, so we're just going to say United based off of form.
Who would you say?
What? The worst squad?
Yeah. Spurs.
Oh, Spurs.
Yeah, she's going to say Spurs.
And why are we aligning today? This is not...
it's a common enemy,
join,
isn't it?
Join Hayden.
The next question. Out of these two, Martinelli and Saka, who has more potential to be world class?
That's a good question.
Is that a question for me?
Yeah, I'm coming to you.
Oh, father. Who has more potential to be world class? Can I say both?
No. Choose.
Pick one. And say why as well.
Do you know what's crazy? I feel like it's changed. So when I first saw Martinelli for Arsenal and signed him, I thought it was him. Like, I thought he was going to be our best youngster. He's by far our best youngster. And then he tailed off. And then I saw the transition with Saka from left back to left mid to left wing to right wing. I'm like, this guy can do a lot. I'm going to go Saka. I'm going to stick by Saka.
Does everyone agree?
No.
I was going to say Martinelli because he's Brazilian.
Obviously, yeah, literally. Literally.
Yeah,
I like them both.
Yeah.
But I have a soft spot for Saka.
I don't think Saka will improve more in this Arsenal squad, whereas I feel Martinelli has another level to go. Mm-hmm. I think for me, to see Saka reach world class, he has to go to City or Liverpool.
But he's improved every season since he started.
I think it'll be interesting to see Saka outside of that, his London London and Arsenal comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, he has a lot of potential, but I would like to see him outside of that. Not because I want Arsenal's downfall, which obviously I do, but it would just be quite interesting to see him in a City or a Liverpool. But I think
do you know, I disagree. I think it depends. If it's City, then I'll definitely tip for Saka. If it's Liverpool, I'll tip for Martinelli.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I think Klopp takes Martinelli to scary levels.
Mm. Yeah.
And the last question is, in your opinion, who is to blame for United's shit show of a season so far?
Why are people just asking about United?
You know, the thing is, there was more United questions. I just had to pick two.
I don't have anything for that answer.
I feel like everyone is the same. Like,
everyone knows what the issue is.
United is the Glazers. It's not going to change. It's it's them.
We've identified that it's the board, it's the recruitment, and it's the players' mentality.
Yeah, it's a trickling effect. Like, it's from the top
down. Hi, Tima.
I thought it was also Paul Pogba.
Let's be real, they're missing him. No midfielders.
Listen, Paul Pogba, Paul Pogba had the ability to take the ball from a deep line position and just elevate it to our forwards precisely. I'm going to give it like about another maybe 4 or 5 games before people, you know, pundits start saying, Eriksen needs help, Bruno needs help. But when we were saying that for Pogba, nobody was listening. And instead that they continued like bashing him on pundits, pundits continued bashing him. So yeah, the shit show at United is a trickling effect. It's the Glazers, it's the board, it's the recruitment, it's the players, it's everything. It's everything.
I'm not looking forward to this season at all because
one less competitor.
We'll see. I think we're gonna finish 6th or something. I don't see us
that high. You know, you've got Brighton and all them lot to worry about as well. just saying. Just how
playing
it started.
Liverpool next as well.
Yeah, we're already losing that. There's no point. Like, we move on to the game after that because there's just no hope there. I feel like maybe when Martial comes, we might start to score at least. Doesn't mean we'll win because our defence is...
For us to start competing, we need signings. Like, if we come out of this window with only the 3 players that we've signed, We are not getting top four. Our top six is even a bit optimistic, okay. I'll say.
What are our most pressing areas that we need signings for?
Oh, how much time do we have?
Just a quick short.
I will say DM. I'll say DM is our biggest issue. You know, this De Jong saga has to end. Like, at this point, I just want them to get the government and, you know, the Spanish government involved just to stop this. Just to, honestly, bring it to an end. It's pissing me off.
Do you know the De Jong thing is, I actually want him to stay at Barcelona because I want to see Barcelona's downfall. I think the way they've treated him is
disgraceful.
You can't be bringing in all of these players and then turn around to my man and saying, well, no one's going to eat unless you leave. Like, how does that even make any sense?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He should stay and just make them, and just make them...
No, but is that the best thing for him, though?
Yes.
Staying, he wants to be
£50 million.
I don't care.
He doesn't
even
want to leave.
Okay, but after being disrespected in that manner...
He doesn't see it as disrespectful because he's still playing. He's just still playing.
Yeah, I don't think
his
manager likes him. It's a Xavi issue. I think if it was to do with Xavi, then maybe De Jong would want to leave. But I don't know. I feel like in a World Cup year, footballers should do what's best for them, and staying at Barca doesn't really look like what's
But is De Jong being benched by anyone for Netherlands?
Yeah, he's getting into that squad regardless.
Yeah, yeah. Van Gaal likes him regardless. I think if he comes to United, Van Gaal will bench him. I think that's what will happen. But the whole De Jong thing, like, it needs to end. So we need a DM. We need a winger.
But he hasn't threatened De Jong if he does move to United, like what he done with Timber.
No, not with Timber, because again, the Dutch. He told Timber
if you go to United, you can forget about being in the World Cup, mate.
You're not going to Qatar. No, he didn't do that. But I guess it's because the Dutch team have defenders. You know, they've got that ability in their locker. I guess in terms of De Jong's position in the Netherlands, there's not too many people that would start over him. So we need a DM, whether it's De Jong, whether, you know, Ibrahim Sangare just signed an extension with PSV. They could have got him for a 35 million release clause. Onana that went to Everton, they could have got him 35 million.
Onana's good, man. I remember
he was good yesterday. He made a little error that led to a goal, and he literally bounced back and helped.
And even that was more like both the goals we conceded were just about how we defended in transition.
Little errors.
It's like you shouldn't just concede just because someone's lost the ball like at that point in the pitch. So that was us, not just him.
So the players, like, they're out there. So we need a DM. Yeah. We need a forward. I think, you know,
we need a striker.
No, that's what I'm saying. We need a forward. But for me, what would be ideal is signing a striker that could play up top. Sorry, English ain't my first language, guys. A player that can play up top, but also on the wing. Mm-hmm. So Gakpo that we've been linked to.
Jesus.
I would have taken Jesus at United, but Edu had that in the works for the past five months, apparently.
Ever salty, to be fair.
No, I don't think so. They're not like us where we let Tevez go to City. Like, that would never happen.
But also, would City really see United as a threat to even?
No, but that's our direct Manchester rival. Whether or not
that's a big deal.
Whether or not they put 10 past us every season, that's a different question. But we are their City like rivals, so they definitely would never, you know, because he would strengthen our squad. Yeah, why would they want to strengthen our squad? So we need a forward. We need a right back. We need a backup.
We have a couple, if you're interested.
And we don't want Arsenal's leftovers. I'm sorry, beggars can't be choosers. But we need quality. No offense to who is
we
it?
We need
that
a goalkeeper. Bellerin's not an upgrade.
Bellerin,
Dalot, or whatever.
Bellerin,
after post ACL Bellerin.
Bellerin's gonna be linking up with Paul Pogba at flipping like Paris Fashion Week and that. He's not gonna be reporting for training. Like, I respect Bellerin. I respect him for a lot of things that he says and does off the pitch. Mm, but like, we need to stop moving away from like short term signings.
We have a couple as well.
I do not want Xhaka. If you're trying to offer Xhaka,
no. There's an Egyptian king by the name of Muhammad.
Listen, if my he's my Muslim brother, innit? I'm not even gonna hate. Bring him to Old Trafford. I'm not gonna hate on him. That's my Muslim brother. I stick with him. But there's like, so we need a DM, we need a forward, we need a right back, we need a backup goalkeeper.
That's basically
that's a whole team. No,
we need a replacement goalkeeper.
We need a replacement, but we also need, there's some guy, Yassin Bonu. I can't remember where he plays at United. He plays at Sevilla. United, we're targeting him. I'm not sure what's happening. It looks like Rabiot is going to come in. But even if he's going to come in, we need to bring in another midfielder alongside him. Someone that is a long-term plan.
And someone whose mother isn't crazy.
Is he an upgrade?
Is he an upgrade? You know, it's a bit harsh for Fred because Fred gets a lot of criticism when he plays with McTominay. But like I said, Fred is a decent squad player if I'm playing him in Europa League.
He played badly yesterday without McTominay.
I don't think Fred
McTominay
is the problem at Manchester United. I think Fred is good enough to be there.
Yeah,
maybe
he's good
not
at,
a
as a squad
he's
player.
He's a squad
yeah.
player
yeah.
good enough to be
hold
there.
The water
the problem
he was
is
not
that Scottish
there.
Guy that walks around with his collar up like he's a footballer.
I've never met yet someone more arrogant. Like I thought Dean Henderson was arrogant. Today he showed me every reason why
not he's confident
he
I think he's confident.
Confident
I don't
sometimes
think he's
it comes
arrogant
in
his own
ability yeah. sometimes
I,
it comes
like
arrogant.
I like it
but
though.
Today he showed like it's like he watched yesterday's game and he thought yeah like let me show United what they're
doing. He did Michael
like,
Jordan I took that personally
exactly yeah. he took it personally. Scott McTominay for someone who plays midfield for his squad and can't even get to his into his national team midfield, that's a question to be raised. And like I said, Jose Mourinho, he won us trophies at United. But he brought McTominay into our squad, and I will never forgive him for that.
But you
because
know,
it's like
he, just never
he came
improved.
In, and we just can't get rid of him.
I, like, again,
I think because
he's
always
busy
have to,
player.
We always have to play an academy player. We always have to have.
We got Rashford.
That's why you,
like,
that's why you went
yeah,
so Rashford.
I think during the process of a rebuild, right, or when a team is in turmoil, if you can't look to your academy for one or two resolutions, you have a massive problem.
But we can because you know we got Ghana, we've got. Savage, we've got the Zidane, Iqbal, like the players are there. We got, forget even our academy, we got Van der Beek. We have Van,
oh,
like,
yeah,
we
know,
we have
I forget
players.
He exists
yeah.
all
we
the time.
We have players on our bench.
Not even
that
playing under Ten Hag.
They don't get the rotation.
No, no manager rates him, and I really want
to
know why.
I'm curious to know why, but you know what? You look at every player from that 2019 Ajax team, none of them have wowed at the clubs that they have went on to.
It's because that Dutch league is different. Bergwijn has just
Bergwijn's
spurred,
got a hat-trick
and
today.
Yeah, he's got a hat-trick today. The playing in the Dutch league is different. You can just, you know, a bang average player in the Premier League looks like world class in that Dutch league.
All eyes on Martinez in that case.
Also, does that extend to managers as well?
Who's Martinez playing against next? Oh, Nunes.
Oh, I don't think I know it sounds bad. I don't think Martinez is gonna start. And
yeah.
if he did, and he has played for Ajax at DM occasionally, I would rather see him
yeah.
at DM because he has
True.
He has the ability. He has some capabilities of a DM. He's aggressive, ball retention. He can win the ball back. He can distribute.
He
can push the ball upfield.
He
should play at DM.
Was a left back.
I would rather him I would rather him playing at DM than playing at centre back. I don't know if the Liverpool game is the game to be experimenting with.
No, but I think it
maybe
it is
because
we're going to lose anyway.
See that it's than true. See Eriksen or McFred in that thing. But the thing is with McTominay, yeah, I respect him. There's two players in the United team that run around so much, looking like they're doing something and
yeah,
they're doing nothing.
Busy players never get
and
sold.
Bruno Fernandes. That's why they always make it into. They run a lot. They cover
no,
a lot.
But
of
at
the
least
pitch.
Bruno has contributed in previous seasons with goals and assists.
Yeah,
this drop off is crazy as well. What's happened to him?
I think once Ronaldo came in,
that's
like,
just United.
There's just no
before
space
Ronaldo.
For him.
25 goals.
No, once Ronaldo came in, there's no space for
you
him.
You never lived that down.
Wait.
You
never
lived that down.
I said in the whole. Season, he wasn't that far off though. He wasn't that far off.
He's about as far.
No,
off.
But the thing is, but like I said, like Ronaldo messed up the balance and that he no longer takes penalties, so that contributes. Yeah.
Wild take.
Whatever. I said what I said. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this episode. Really enjoyed it. Please make sure to follow us on all our socials and see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.